Hare Krishna. So we were giving, well, we were asked, kind of asked, but also decided to speak on Ekadasi. And today is Ekadasi. The word is very easy. It means 11. Eka means one, and Dasi means 10. So Ekadasi, Ekadasi means 11. 11 days before the full moon, 11 days after the full moon. So, and each month there are two Ekadasis. Ekadasi is, there's an interesting story about the inception or the birth of Ekadasi as it goes back to the beginning of creation. It's quite an interesting story. During the beginning of creation, each time the material energy is recreated, or the material world is recreated, Lord Brahma comes and does the work of putting taking the ingredients that Krishna gives him, earth, water, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, ether, and puts them all together and makes the different bodies of the living entities. So, in fact, the whole material world is a combination of these eight elements, and that's all there is. What we see around us is that us, the human society, we take these eight elements and we make buildings, we make houses, we make electronic devices. It's all a combination of these eight elements, five actually gross elements, and three subtle elements. So that's the whole essence of the material existence. It's a combination of that. Each of our bodies are simply a combination of these eight elements in different proportions. Now, during the creation, there is also the principles of religion are given to Lord Brahma, who creates 10 suns and those 10 suns are the propagators of religious principles, headed by Sri Narada Muni, who was the foremost of all the sons of Brahma and the greatest of all of teachers of religious principles. Now, along with a religion, there is irreligion is also created. That those who don't want to follow the rules and regulations given by the Lord, those who want to act separately from the Lord, those who want to actually act not only separately, but actually what we call it sinfully. There are different kinds of sins that are listed in the scriptures that are some of the major forms of sinful activities. And there are many, such as killing animals, having illicit sex with someone else's wife. These are some of the more sinful activities committed by the living entities. Now, in order for this to, be established within society, so the Lord actually established that. But then he thought, well, for these living entities who commit sinful activities, they have to be punished, obviously. If they don't follow the laws of God, they have to follow the laws of punishment. And so he creates a person called Yamaraj. He's known as the Lord of Death. But he's also the punisher, or the equalizer. Those who are sinful by nature, they go to Yamaraj after they leave their body. And according to the volumes of sins and the types of sins they have, they get a particular hellish condition and they suffer in that hellish condition for a certain period of time, depending on the type of sins. And then after that, they get another body and they come back into the material world again to try again. So, this Yamaraj has a place in the lower planetary systems, but he is actually one of the foremost of all the devas, demigods, although he resides in the lower regions. One day, or you might say one time within history, Lord Vishnu came to see Yamaraj. And when he came to see Yamaraj, Yamaraj welcomed him nicely, offered him the throne to sit on, washed his feet, and glorified the Lord in so many worries. But then while the Lord was there, he heard all these cryings coming from a distance. And he's hearing these pitiful sounds of people in a crying condition. So the Lord is wondering, what is that? And Yamaraj tells him, well, that's the sinful living entities. They're undergoing their punishment. So the Lord starts to feel compassion for the suffering of these persons. So he goes to the more southern regions of the area and finds that all these persons are there. When they see the Lord, they immediately offer prayers to the Lord and pray to the Lord to please relieve their suffering. The Lord's heart becomes touched by their prayers and by the sufferings that they're undergoing. So the Lord is thinking, what can I do to somehow give a chance for those who commit sinful activities to get relieved from those sinful activities? So the Lord decided to create a particular day. It's called Ekadasi. So when he created Ekadasi, that means that all the sinful living entities, if they simply follow Ekadasi, they can be freed from the results of their sinful activities. And we'll explain what that following is. So Ekadasi became the virtue where anyone and everyone who follows Ekadasi can give relief from the results of their sinful activities simply by following this Ekadasi austerity. So now, the personification of sin, who was also created in order to bring the sin into the world, his name was Papa Purush. Papa in Sanskrit means, pa means sin. Doesn't mean father. It means sin. Pap, because sometimes you hear the word pap in Sanskrit means sinful. So Papa Purush, he is the personification of sinful activity. His whole body is made from the results of sinful activity. Each of the limbs of his body, the organs of his body are formed in a certain way to represent a certain type of sinful activity that the living entity may commit. So now Papa Purush is out of a job. So now he's concerned. He comes to Lord Vishnu and he says, my dear Lord Vishnu, you've created me, but now I can't do anything. You've created this Ekadasi, and now Ekadasi is destroying all my work. So how will these living entities get punished if you create Ekadasi? So the Lord thought, And Papa Purush, he's not just saying this, he's crying. He said, I'm your devotee also. You created me to do this work, and so you have to give me protection and some kind of facility to function. And so the Lord thought, I have to do something. So he decided, all right, that on Ekadasi, anybody who eats grains on that day will get all the sinful reactions of, if I can remember the exact understanding. In other words, they will get volumes of their sinful actions back. In other words, this day is situated in such a way that anyone who eats grains on Ekadasi gets the results of sinful activity. Anybody who offers grains on this day gets more of that sinful activity. So this day has a particular restriction within it, and then no one can eat any grains. And we also add legumes, beans, on this day also. So, but what does it mean to actually follow the Ekadasi Vrata? It's interesting, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur really glorifies Ekadasi in many of his writings. And he says, Ekadasi is the mother of devotion. So when we use the word mother, we mean the best of all devotion. So in that way, Ekadasi is considered to be the supreme time within the month where one can worship the Lord in such a way that the spiritual benefits that one performs normally during the month is multiplied unlimitedly during the Ekadasi. So this day has great spiritual merit, tremendous spiritual merit. And so it's described that one can follow Ekadasi. Now the actual inception or the actual origin of Ekadasi in terms of the Vrata is one fasts completely from all food, all water, for 24 hours. In other words, each codicil is near jal. Near means not, and jal means water. So a codicil really means near jal. But Srila Prabhupada, in bringing the Krishna conscious movement into the Western society, knew that the Westerners could not do it. They're too much accustomed to what we say sense gratification, being brought up in that atmosphere. And so he gave some concessions. But the scriptures also talk about a type of concessionary type of process where one can follow. But what does ekadasi really mean? It means to chant 24 hours a day the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's the actual ekadasi. Ekadasi begins on sunrise of the day. In other words, it doesn't start from the midnight of the day. It starts on the sunrise. And it goes to the sunrise of the following day. And so for those 24 hours, a person is meant to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And of course, when you don't eat, you don't get tired, so you can stay up all night. It's easy. When you eat, that's what makes you tired. It's because you have to digest, and digestion takes energy. So that's the actual ekadasi. No food, no water, chanting for 24 hours. But then again, there are mentions within the Shastras, which have come later, there are five ways one can honor ekadasi. And that is, the highest and best and most, what we say, powerful, is to follow that 24 hours, simply no water, and chant the whole time. A little bit less than that is to take water only. And a little higher than that, a little less than that, is to take food that is not cooked on ekadasi. In other words, raw food. So that's three. Higher than that is to take only cooked food, aside from grains and beans like that. So I think there's only four. Somebody was telling me there's five, but I can only think of four levels of practice. But by following the ekadasi, even by what Srila Prabhupada has given us, no grains and no beans like that, we can make great spiritual advancement on this day. Because simply by following the fast and increasing, in discussions with the devotees and Srila Prabhupada, he talks about ekadasi. And he said, of course, he said, chant 24 hours. But then the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, we got a lot of service to do. And Prabhupada said, all right, I chant at least 25 rounds of the ekadasi. And I take a little milk, take a little fruit. Yeah. You can do that. That's the other one. It's no water, then water, fruit and milk, or milk products, and then raw foods, and then cooked foods, and then that's it. These are the five levels you can follow. So in our temples, because devotees are not accustomed to so much austerity, and Prabhupada has given a lot of leniency in that, and along with the fact that we don't stop our regular activities of devotional service, and so devotees need some type of prasadam in order to carry on, Prabhupada has given, at least the temples, free themselves from this part, no beans and no grains. So now sometimes people ask, what happens if you break an ekadasi? Well, if you break an ekadasi, then if at the time you break the ekadasi, just like say maybe some of you have not known about ekadasi or not followed it today, then from that time you follow the ekadasi for the rest of that day, and the following day you also do the ekadasi. So, the next day. Like there have been many incidents in our society where sometimes the cooks are not even aware of ekadasi and they put some peas in the sabji. It happens. Or something that shouldn't be there. And so then when Prabhupada heard that one time, he became like Hiranyakashipu. And then he calmed down immediately and said, all right, everyone follow tomorrow. Now, also, if one doesn't follow the Ekadasi, there's another concession. But you have to follow the Ekadasi. It's not like the concessionary principles are there in order for you to break the Ekadasi. Because concessions don't work if things are done voluntarily. But if somehow by accident one doesn't follow the Ekadasi, then there is one Ekadasi that comes up in June every year. It's called Bhima Nirjal Ekadasi. And on that day, one has to completely fast from all food, including water, on that day. And then any time, or if there had been any breaking of the Ekadasi throughout the year, the reactions for breaking the Ekadasi is nullified by following Bhima Nirjal Ekadasi. It's called Bhima because it's named after the Pandava Bhima, the great powerful fighter, the brother of Arjuna, who has a second name. He's called Vikradhar. Vikradhar means one who has a belly like a wolf. That means he has such a high fire that if he fasts, he burns up. He has to put something into his stomach. So on that day, so Bhima cannot follow Ekadasi, so Krishna says, all right, you do it once a year. And that day is also given to us as an opportunity to overcome any, mistakes in practicing the Ekadasi. So this is a very auspicious day, like that. So one who follows the Ekadasi. And the idea is to chant more and more and more, because the chanting on this day has great, tremendous, has more spiritual effect, more spiritual merit on this particular day. So devotees usually take vows. I know devotees who chant 32 rounds, some chant 64 rounds on this day, and some devotees chant 192 rounds on this day. So those are the Russian devotees. They love austerities. The 192 rounds is what Srila Haridas Thakur used to do every day. So there's some devotees who do that, 192 rounds on this day. That means you don't do anything else. You just chant. So you might think, whew, wow, that's hard. But no. Chanting works in such a way is that the more you chant, the sweeter it gets. So when you're chanting, like we used to do these kirtan malas organized by His Holiness Satchinandana Maharaj. He started first his japa sessions and then he did kirtan malas. But in his japa sessions, he started to export them all around the world. So I remember we did one in America in 2008 where we were chanting every day 32 rounds, and for 2 days out of a week, we were there for a whole week, or actually 5 days, we chant 64 rounds on those 2 days. And every devotee would testify, because we would all come together at the end of the evening and give a testimony of our experience of chanting. And every devotee would testify that, yeah, at a certain time in my japa, and maybe on my 25th round or my 40th round or my 63rd round. And sometime, if it happens on your 63rd round, then you keep going beyond 64. There was one devotee that did 128 rounds that day, I remember. So the experience is that at a certain time, there is a breakthrough. The breakthrough means the sweetness of the holy name starts to manifest and one starts to just chant, 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 chant. One loses the track of time or even sometimes the numbers. So it's not hard to, it's hard to chant 16 rounds, but it's not hard to chant 32 rounds. And it's easier to chant 64 rounds. Because the more you chant, the sweeter it gets, and the sweeter it gets, the more you want to chant. So this day is also, along with the austerity of the fasting, is meant for increased amounts of japa, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, like that. So this day is very fortunate. This is a day that many devotees look forward to each month. Jai Sri Panchatattva Ki Jai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's one story in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wherein it was the Ekadasi day, and of course the deities don't fast on Ekadasi. Sometimes people think, well, God should have Ekadasi too, but no, he doesn't have any sinful reactions. So one day when Lord Chaitanya was a very young boy, he said to his mother, please go to the house of Jagadish and Haranyagarbha, and what was not Jagadish and Haranya, and please bring the prasadam that they have cooked for their Vishnu deity. Now, Sachimata was thinking, how does he know that? Anyway, she thought, and then she inquired, and she found out, yes, they had cooked this really big feast for their Vishnu deities on that day. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to take the prasadam of that because they had cooked so nicely. And so, of course, Lord Chaitanya is also Vishwambar, another name, which means that he can consume the whole universe. He is not limited to any amounts of food that we give him. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, many times some of his special devotees, especially Damayanti and her brother Raghava Pandit. Damayanti used to be a really amazing expert cook, and she used to create so many new recipes. So her and her brother would make so many nice preparations, and they would give it to the servants of Lord Chaitanya, Govinda. And Govinda would take it to Lord Chaitanya, but sometimes Lord Chaitanya would say, I just put it over there, or put it in the next room. So, and then again, people would cook, and he would say, yeah, put it in the next room. So one time Govinda came, and Govinda was in a little anxiety, and the Lord asked him, what's wrong? I can see you're not right. He said, yes, I don't know what to do. All the devotees who are cooking for you, they're asking, did he like my prasadam? And I don't know what to tell him because you're not eating. So Lord Chaitanya said, all right, bring it all. So there was a whole room full of, you know, prasadam that he had stored there. So Lord Chaitanya ate the whole room. He didn't want to be favored to some devotees and leave some, so he ate the whole room. And then, of course, Govinda was happy and gave the report. There was one devotee, his name was Ramachandra Puri. Yeah, Ramachandra Puri. He was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who had a disciple named Ishwara Puri, who was the godbrother of Lord Chaitanya. I'm sorry, the guru of Lord Chaitanya. So Ramachandra Puri and Ishwara Puri were godbrothers, and Ishwara Puri became the guru of Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of a devotee, wants to follow the principles that devotees follow, so he took initiation from a spiritual master. And his param guru was Madhavendra Puri. So Ramachandra Puri was a critic. He was a critic. One time, his guru, Madhavendra Puri, was in ecstasy. And he was crying out for Krishna. And we understand that the great souls, they feel so much, what you say, natural humility in their ecstasy of love of God that they feel that they're worthless. And they express that in their prayers. So he was reciting beautiful prayers and crying out to Krishna. And Ramachandra Puri was there, and he said to his guru, you know, just be peaceful and meditate on Brahman. Madhavendra Puri, he looked at his disciple and he said, get out of here. If I see your face when I die, I don't know what my destination will be. And so he displeased his spiritual master by speaking, not only instructing his spiritual master, which is an offense in itself, but he also instructed in the wrong way. And so he lost the mercy of his spiritual master. When you lose the mercy of your spiritual master, then it's just a matter of time when you go back to material life again. So he lost the complete mercy. And then he used to come, and he had a habit of wanting to feed the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So what he would do is that when they would have a feast, he would make sure he would serve. So he would go and associate with the devotees of Lord Chaitanya and serve out the feast. And then he would say, take more, take more. And he would encourage him to take more. And after they took more, he would say, just see, Lord Chaitanya's devotees, they eat too much. He would force them to take more, and then he would say, look, they eat too much. So the devotees didn't really like his association so much. And so at one time, he came into the room where Lord Chaitanya was staying, and he saw all ants on the floor. And so he was thinking, oh, this sannyasi, he's not a real sannyasi. He's sneaking, eating sweets at night when nobody's around. And therefore, this proves it because there are all these ants here. And so the word got back to Lord Chaitanya. And then he said also, Lord Chaitanya, he's a sannyasi and he eats too much. He eats too much. So, and his devotees are also the same. Prabhupada said, you know, devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they like prasad. But they also like to serve and like to have kirtan. So, the Lord Chaitanya, when he found out Ramachandra Puri was criticizing, he said he cut his eating in half. And therefore the devotees became really unhappy, because now they were cooking for him and he wasn't eating, because he was only eating a little bit because Ramachandra Puri cut him. So he became a little bit a nuisance to the devotees. So one day, just out of nowhere, Ramachandra Puri left Navadvip. And he never came back. And all the devotees were happy. And then Lord Chaitanya resumed his eating habits again. So yeah, this is a nice example. Now, this is an example of when you lose the mercy of your spiritual master, you instruct your spiritual master, you criticize your spiritual master, you find fault with the spiritual master, and then the mercy is gone, and then when the mercy is gone, you're also gone. And there was another disciple, that was Ishwara Puri. Ishwara Puri served his spiritual master so nicely that when his spiritual master was in an invalid condition and he could not even take care of his own bodily needs, Ishwara Puri was doing the menial service of taking care of all his bodily needs when he was practically unable to walk. And because he did that, he served his spiritual master so nicely, he got the special blessings of his spiritual master, so much so that he became the guru of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to show the world, or Madhavendra Puri actually showed the world, that this is the relationship with the guru, that one who serves the guru and pleases the guru, there's no limit to the spiritual merits and benefits that that person gets, and one who displeases Shrama Eva, he gave up, which means everything they do becomes useless, like that. So just wanted to make that story because Lord Chaitanya doesn't follow ekadasi. When we were in New Vrindavan, when I was there in my beginning days, we would have, we had a deity of Srila Prabhupada on the altar. We had deities of Gaur Nittai. We had deities of Radha Krishna. We had deities of Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra Maharani. So Prabhupada, each of the deities had their own separate plates. So we had Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, each had a plate. Radha and Krishna had one plate, I believe. And Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, everybody had their own individual plates, that's right. So there was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 plates for the deities. And then Prabhupada was there, and he had his plate too, on the altar, along with Himanda Vyasa-san. So when we would cook for the deities and offer it, all the 7 plates would have regular prasadam and ekadasi except Prabhupada. Prabhupada would have the ekadasi plate on the altar like that. It became quite confusing for the pujaris after a while, trying to sort everything out, but they did it. And that was way how we were trained during the ekadasi like that. So, yeah. All right, so any questions, comments about ekadasi or anything related? Or just questions in general? Yes, what is your name again?
Marcel?
Okay. Yes, thank you. They want to give you a microphone so people online can hear also.
Could I just ask? I saw in the calendar that each ekadashi have its own name. So, for example, Bhima Ekadashi and others. Could I just ask for the importance of these names and of knowing the stories connected with them?
Well, there's a whole book called Ekadasi, which kind of narrates each of the stories that are connected with that particular Ekadasi. I don't know the details. I have the book myself. It's called Ekadasi. It's a red cover. And there have been other books that have been published after that about Ekadasi, as far as some of the restrictions to follow. There's one, you can't take sesame seeds on Ekadasi either. They're not allowed, except for one Ekadasi, which is called Satil Ekadasi, and that's in usually in January. Til means sesame, T-I-L. And so on that Ekadasi, you can take sesame seeds. So there's a little concession for that, but the rest of the Ekadasi, no sesame seeds like that. And some devotees follow very strictly where there's no seeds or no roots on the Ekadasi. And some devotees take only vegetables that are grown above ground and not underground. Like underground vegetables are carrots, potatoes, right? Like that. But we're the International Society for Cooking and Eating Potatoes. We have somebody's going to someday create a potato cookbook, just potatoes. Probably you know how that happened? Prabhupada said, potatoes, king of vegetable. So he made that statement after that. You have to have potatoes every day, and if you can have them 3 times a day, then you're more Krishna conscious. So, anyway, we like potato chips. So, yeah, there are different stories, which are pastimes that are mentioned in the Puranas. The Puranas are the ancient teachings related to a particular Ekadasi, and that really brings about how one should observe that particular type of Ekadasi. So Ekadasi is very specific in terms of its observation, but Prabhupada didn't give us that because it was too complicated to follow. So he gave us the simple Ekadasi like that. And he didn't like anybody sleeping during the day on Ekadasi. He said, if they're sleeping, give them something to eat. He said, Prabhupada would get angry if he saw devotees sleeping on Ekadasi. He said, this is the day for less eating, more chanting, like that. Okay, so yes. Okay, I'm really good at names. Let me think. All right. Darya Chandrika, thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. I have one practical question regarding Ekadashi, because sometimes, it's not sometimes, but it happened that you invite your family on a lunch and it's Ekadashi, and you know, for example, that they will not eat any other sweets than apple pie, which is from grains. So what to do in this situation? Is it principle of giving prasadam higher than getting
just don't make any sweets. Oh, I forgot to make the sweet. I'm sorry. Come back tomorrow.
Or maybe you're going out and you have only cookies in your pocket and it's a Kaddishi day and you want to offer...
We don't force those persons who don't practice spiritual life to follow the Ekadasi. But we encourage them to. But if they... We don't speak like we do in devotee circles. So sometimes when devotees also did programs on the Ekadasi for people in general, we sometimes would have grains there for the guests who would come like that. But devotees wouldn't eat it, though. So that's permissible, but that's concessionary also. Yeah. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
So you can make apple pie from some... What is that, grain that's not a grain?
From potato.
Potato. But Mother, I have a new kind of apple pie for you. I'm sure you'll like it. It's called potato apple. It looks like a potato and tastes like an apple. Something like that. You know, if you're good at coming up with stories, you can say anything. Okay, anything else? Yes, in the back there. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right, you're next then.
So we have to avoid only, are there any other restrictions only in food on the Kadasha or maybe some other activities we have to avoid on this day?
Well, one should not, for men shouldn't shave on this day. No shaving on this day. That means cutting the hair or shaving the face. Because if you cut yourself on this day, you break the Ekadasi. That's why there's no shaving on Ekadasi. Mm-hmm. You can't draw blood on this day. Even if you're working outside and you cut yourself, that considers breaking Ekadasi. Like that. So no hard work on this these days. And some people don't like hard work anyway, so. Work? What's that? So no hard work on this day. Usually we ask devotees to spend more time hearing and chanting. That's the essence of Ekadasi. Even if you can't chant mantras all day, It's a good time for reading, like that. And what other things that we don't do on this day? We refrain from all kinds of bodily activities. It's not a day to try to conceive a child either on this day. So, yeah. God is, he's very auspicious. It's extremely auspicious. The stricter we follow it, the more the benefit is there. That's the only ones I can think of, at least. For the ladies, I don't think there's any kind of extra restriction like that. Of course, be careful not to cut yourself like that. This gentleman over here has a question. And then we'll go back to Sabina after that.
I'd like to ask if there are, what are the benefits for people than doing a Kaddish unknowingly? That they don't know it's a Kaddish, but they don't eat grains or beans.
Wow.
And what is the, if there is benefit, what plants?
Oh, I can tell you a story about that one. That's interesting. Prahlad Maharaj, before he became Prahlad Maharaj, I mean, he was a little bit licentious in his previous life. And he was with a prostitute. And so he had a big fight with that prostitute, and it was Ekadasi, and so he got angry, she got angry, and they both fasted that day. Because he fasted on that day, that Ekadasi, although he did it without knowing, he got the benefit of taking birth as Prahlad Maharaj in the next life. That's mentioned in the Shastras like that. Because it was also on the eve of the appearance of Lord Nrisingadev, also like that.
And the plants? Like,
so if anybody follows it involuntarily, they're going to get some benefit, even if they don't know it. What benefit they get, that's up to Krishna. Krishna will decide what benefit to give them, but they will obviously get some benefit, some spiritual benefit. They may just happen to meet a devotee after that, and then their spiritual life begins. Sabina's next, and then after that, this gentleman over here, and then Shasha.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I just wanted to ask regarding the ladies and Ekadashi. I heard you're not supposed to wash your hair.
That's a good idea. Save on shampoo.
My Ekadashi.
Okay. This way. This just gentleman sitting on the chair way on the other side. I don't know if that washing the hair thing is anywhere in the Shastras, but I don't remember hearing about that. In other words, what you're saying and what people might be saying is reduce bodily activities on that day. That's the basic principle. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In lecture you mentioned that if we're offering the grains to the deities in that day, that's sinful.
You become the killer of your spiritual master. That's what it says.
I mean deities.
Then you become, well, you can't get any worse than that.
Because I'm a little bit confused that I often heard that.
Oh, no, you can offer. No, you can offer grains to the deities on this day. That's
that
fine.
That doesn't influence on Supreme Lord. I mean, Ekadashi.
Because Supreme Lord doesn't at all follow Ekadashi. We mentioned that. No, the Lord gets regular offerings on the Ekadashi. It's just for the jiva, the jiva soul, us. And even the spiritual masters who are great souls, they also follow the Ekadasi.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. And then we have Shasha.
I have a question. Some people, they say that what about pregnant women? They can follow. They should follow Ekadashi, or they are not obliged to follow if they are pregnant?
Well, I don't want to say anything that might be incorrect, but I don't see how that would hurt the child by not following, by not... Yeah. Now, if they're under a doctor's care and they have to follow a particular diet according to the doctor's care, then they should get a letter from the doctor saying that this is required. Why did you ask about pregnant women?
I asked because there are some devotees who are not women and they don't follow Ekadashi because they say they can. They can't. They can. I won't mention names. But they say they can't. So, I mean, if some ladies are pregnant and they can follow, sure they can. They are men. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well... Thank you for clarifying. You are a well-wisher of the devotees. So. Okay. But the point is, everybody can. It's not hard. Prabhupada made it so easy. No grains and no beans. I mean, how easy can that be? That's so easy. Now, if you're in India and you're a Bengali... Now, there's a problem. Bengalis really have a hard time with it. They follow it, but it's like they can't wait till that breakfast because they love rice. The worst thing you can do to a Bengali is don't give him rice. But, yeah, so the point is that it's not that hard. It's so simple. I think getting up in the morning is harder than following Ekadasi sometimes. For some devotees. Yeah, Ekadasi is really auspicious. And, of course, if they don't follow, they get pretty heavy sinful reactions. If they're in knowledge of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Sabina. Microphone.
I just want to see if I understood correctly. You said when we offer the grains to the Lord, if it's done only for the deities on the altar, that's not considered sinful, but if we offer it to the Lord and give it to Jiva, that is sinful and counted as...
Prabhupada said you keep that prasadam to the next day and then it's distributed, yeah.
Okay. How about in the case where you maybe offer happy cookies to non-devotees on Ekadashi, is that also considered this killing of the guru?
If they become happy by the cookies. I don't know. I would... Well, I'm a little bit conservative. I would think I would not do anything with grains on that day. They say just to stay away from grains completely on that day, unless they're required to serve the deities, it's better to not even be around grains that day in any way. Okay, here comes another question I can't answer. No question? Okay. All right, so... And so the temple decided not to cook anything today for but they have plenty of water, so and for those who didn't bring their beads, we have extra japa beads. No, I'm only joking. So okay, thank you very much. Sri Ekadasi Vrata Ki Jai.